Good morning, everyone.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. To life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us and no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. In the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. In the light of His glory and grace.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Vicky. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for the great privilege of being here this morning to hear the Word of God. Those who came out today can expect to hear from you, Father, as we focus our attention upon Jesus Christ, as we seek you with our whole heart. Unless we do, Father, there's no obligation on your part, because you always give us what we want. And if we want you, then indeed we'll have you. And if we don't, it'll seem like you're distant, though you're never far away. Father, just bless the message as it goes forth today. Edify the body of Christ. Magnify the person of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, "It's Time to Seek the Lord," and it certainly is that. It is Sunday, sometime in July, probably the 19th. Okay, good. Psalm 119, 145. We're making rapid progress in Psalm 119. There's 172 verses. I think I said 176. 172. So we're not far away. Two more messages, I think. Then where are we going? Who knows? We'll see. Got a couple things in mind. I'm waiting for the Lord to be very gracious. This is Quaff, which is Q. Every verse starts with Q. But it doesn't mean anything to us, because not in English it doesn't, certainly. Verse 145, "I cried with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. I will observe your statutes." My cry is one of desperate need. I need him every hour, like the psalm, like the songwriter, the hymn writer wrote. I need thee every hour. Not sometimes, all the time. Not for some things, but for everything. I need your help, because you require faith, hope, and love, and all of those are yours. You provide them. You produce them. It's the faith of Christ, the hope of Christ, and the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So it all comes from Christ. I require the word of God for a sane mind, because it's ultimate truth or reality. And sanity is based upon truth or reality. For a healthy body, because the word of God is health to my bones and my body. My wellness depends upon the word of God, copiously indwelling my heart, affecting every part of my being. My trichotomous, three-part, tripartite being. Verse 146, "I cried to you, save me, and I shall keep your testimonies." He's saying, save me from a number of different assaults, like the plot of the enemy, from the negative consequences of bad decisions, from pride and self-reliance, those things that hamper or hinder my spiritual advance, my spiritual progress, because they take me away from the testimonies of God. That is, the testimonies of his power and his deliverance. I am insecure in myself, but am fully secure or assured by the testimonies of God that keep me pressing forward and never looking back. This one thing I do, forgetting all that lies behind, I press forward to take a hold of that which lies ahead and to answer the summons, the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, verse 147, "I rise before dawn and cry for help." When's the last time you did that? Yesterday? How about today? I try to do that every day. I try to remember that every day, how much I need him, and call out to him early for help and wait for your words. Isaiah 50, verse 4, The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. See, he's given me the tongue of a disciple because he's given me an ear to listen as a disciple. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear. And I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me. This, of course, is referring to Jesus Christ and his ordeal at Calvary and prior to his crucifixion. I gave my back to those who strike me and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. You know, they spit in his face. For the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. See, if you don't grow in the grace, you'll groan in disgrace. You've said that dozens of times. Well, some people never heard it before, although I've said it many times. If you don't grow in the grace, you'll groan in disgrace. And it's not Jesus Christ who sponsors that, because he did not suffer disgrace. He thought little of the cross. That is, thinking little of the shame and disgrace. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Of course, this is carried over into Romans chapter 8. Who can separate us from the love of God? No one. Nothing and no one. Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. That takes us to 2 Peter chapter 3. The moth will eat them. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Great advice from Isaiah, the most Christologic, Christ-centered of the prophets, had so much to say. And Christ quoted so much of his prophecy. Verse 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. That is, each morning before the sun rises, I rise and the Lord enlightens my soul. That should be our daily experience, all of us. If you're a disciple, that's the case. If you speak as a disciple, then you have the ear of a disciple and you rise as one disciplined to receive the word of God. That is, in discipline, in routine, to receive the word of God early. A day without your word is a day wasted. A lost opportunity, a blessing missed, and a gift forsaken. See, my mornings are devoted to meditation, my afternoons to thanksgiving, and my evenings to rejoicing, in that order. The only way my evenings are spent rejoicing is if my afternoons are devoted to thanksgiving and my mornings to meditation. You say, well, meditate all day long. Well, you probably won't, but thank God anyway, all day long. And in the evening, rejoice. Rest, relax, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 3:1. 149, verse 149. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. Revive me. Good prayer. Revive me, revive me, revive me. Pray that prayer often. Anytime you start to wane, anytime you start to just drift a little bit, revive me, Lord, revive me, and he will. He always gives you what you ask for, you know. So if you ask for revival, he'll give you revival. And he might spread, he might start a revival. And it always starts with you. He will revive your heart. It's what they call the resuscitation, or defibrillation of the spiritual heart, according to your ordinances. Hear and answer my plea, Lord, for restoration. Set my soul ablaze. Animate, activate, invigorate me by your grace. Incentivize me by the word of your grace, Acts 20:32, that reveals my inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Make that, Father, a reality in my soul, that I'm running to receive the prize. And what a prize it is, of such great value and eternal value, far more than compared to anything that this world can present or promise. Revive me and send revival to the land that we love. That's my prayer. Verse 150. Those who follow after wickedness draw near. They are far from your law. That is, so many draw near with wicked disregard for your word. Verse 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. See, they may be near. They may draw near to persecute or to oppose, but the Lord is nearer still. And all his commandments are absolute truth, undeniable truth. There's no element of falsehood or misgiving in any of them. You stick closer than a brother, a friend in a day of adversity, a present help in my time of need. Proverbs 18:24, a man with too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus Christ is that friend, your best friend. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. He'll stick by you in a time of adversity. False accusation, innuendo, aspersions cast against you that are not true, slander, malignant lies. Verse 152, of old I have known your testimonies, that you have founded them forever. They're permanent, ageless, timeless, changeless. Are your edicts and declarations, they will remain ever the same. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. Never be diminished, never change. Even as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. And the Lord hates change. That is, when you don't change. And he never changes because he is changeless, immutable in every way, in all that he said. And you can count on him to always remain the same. Malachi 3:6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Thank God he doesn't. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed from the days of your fathers. You haven't changed. You keep turning aside from my statutes and have not kept them. See, you haven't changed either. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. See, if you don't return to him, or turn to him, he won't turn to you. He can't. Because you don't want him to, and therefore he won't do it, because he always and only does what you want and doesn't do what you don't want him to do. In the end, you'll have a day of reckoning. Everyone will. Believer and unbeliever alike. The unbeliever at the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20:11-15, and the believer at the judgment seat of Christ, where some will step forward with confidence and others will shrink back in shame. He doesn't put you to shame. You're ashamed of yourself. See, he's talking about in this passage, in Malachi, about setting apart the first fruits of your time. First, for his word. You do not honor him, if you don't, as the source of everything in your life, including your money, your wealth, by gratefully giving back a token so that there might be an abundance in his house. He says in verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, with time and with finances. That is, even the holy nation. That is, the conglomerate of believers. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. The tithe was a requirement for paying the priest, who in turn devoted his time and prayer, his time to prayer and study, without concern for other employment. He was free from worry and focused upon the spiritual well-being and continuous progress of his congregation. That's the way, that's ideally how it should be, but it doesn't always work that way. Even Paul had to make tents. And test me now in this, says the Lord. Does that sound like Channel 40 to you today? If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Wow, he's too much, that Lord of ours. So if you've done this, as you and I are invited to do, or never having done so, do you wonder why you struggle to make ends meet? Oh, it's such a struggle. Yeah? Why don't you follow the instructions of the Lord, and then maybe, I'm not talking about 10%, I'm talking about 100%. Give it over. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. You say, you talk about money? No, talk about spiritual capacity. And everything else that falls. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, everything else is added. Don't you know? Don't we know? That's how it works? That's the only way that it works? If you hold back, you only harm yourself. If you hold back from him, then he can't graciously and abundantly supply all your needs and give you an abundant welcome into the everlasting kingdom in the end. Because you held back. I got to keep some of that, right? Nope, none of it. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. And then come follow me. You think that's, he meant that? Is that something you could do? I hope you've already done it. So you're not owned by anything. You own stuff, but you don't know, not, you're not owned by anything. You're not controlled by anything. For a man is a slave to whatever controls him. Don't think you can prosper without God. And don't think by holding back what isn't yours anyway, that you'll have enough in the end. The only sure way is God's way. And giving is the very best, listen to this, retirement strategy. It's the best retirement strategy. You say, well, don't we have to have a nest egg? Yeah, if you're a bird, not a man. God will provide your every need according to his unlimited riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You think he meant that when he said it? You think it's true? I know it is. I apologize to anybody who's in the retirement strategy business, but they're giving you the wrong information. I know some people that are. A couple anyway. And that's not what they say. They say put it in a stock market. What happens when it crashes and never recovers? Which it may do in the near future. If that's what God has planned. I'm not going to put words in his mouth. He speaks his word. And when his timing is right, when everything is just right, when everything's aligned according to his plan, purpose, and will, it'll occur. And then nobody will have anywhere else to go except to him. That's the whole idea. That's what it takes so often. See, God is able to make streams of water in the desert and promises his people who live according to his word that they will always have enough. That means enough for them and enough to give away. Some to give away. Verse 11, then I will rebuke the devourer. Did you know God can take a little bit of meal and oil and feed you for 3 years like he did with Elijah? The widow of Zarephath? Yeah, he can. He can take a whole lot of money and shrink it. Or a little bit of money and stretch it. Have you experienced that with the Lord? I have. So don't worry about that. It's not about amount. It's about where your treasure lies. That's where your heart will be. And your heart will be rich, enriched amazingly by your love and the reality in your soul regarding your Savior, Jesus Christ, your best friend, your brother, who is made for the day of adversity. It sticks closer than a brother as your friend. So, he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you, and it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. See, there's never been a land nearly as delightful as our land, as beautiful as America the Beautiful, which is becoming a fading memory and a mere shadow of what we used to be. Today, no one even knows really what it means that God shed his grace on thee. I just want to show you. I don't know if you can see this well or not. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. Can you picture how beautiful this was to the author of this wonderful psalm, this hymn? America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. See, the good is God's good, not man's good, so don't read it that way. I'll show you that in a second in the song, in the actual song. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet. How beautiful were the feet of those who proclaim good news, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God, mend your every flaw. Confirm your soul in self-control and liberty and law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. They don't sing those words, do they? Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years thine alabaster city's gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. It's a faint memory, isn't it? Why don't they sing the rest of the words, huh? Because that's the message. Not how beautiful and how good we are, but no, how good God is and how good he's been. And he's waiting to be even more gracious than ever before. See, the good is God's good. And brotherhood is a common cause of believers to exalt Jesus Christ and to proclaim his name, to vanquish the darkness. We must cry out, as the psalmist says here, and seek God's face in this season of decline, in this critical time in our nation. What can you do? Just that. And it will have great impact. We must cry out and seek God's face. His face. That's Jesus Christ, is the face of God. The glory that shines from the face of Jesus Christ shines into our hearts to thaw the frozen wasteland of men's unbelief. Perhaps we might see a revival starting with us in our own souls, and then see it spread to everyone else around us, to many others. So what are we waiting for? What does God have to do to get our attention? Knock a little louder. Call a little louder. Call another 911. First one didn't work. Few heard the knock, and fewer still opened the door and let him in. I fear God and what he'll do next. Seek him while he may be found. Isaiah 55, 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. In Deuteronomy 4, 26, you can turn there. This was called by Moses from the very beginning. For Israel and those who descended from Israel, from the promised land to the promised land, America the Beautiful, which is peopled by Ephraim, the blessed tribe, the most blessed tribe that would be a nation made of many other nations. Special primogenitor status, firstborn blessing. The last has become first, and the first last. That's how God does it, to exalt his glory and his grace. Deuteronomy 4:26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not live long on it, but will be utterly destroyed. What a positive message. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations, where the Lord drives you. There you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God. That's what it's going to take for you to seek the Lord your God. And you will find him if you search for him with all of your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things have come upon you in the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and listen to his voice. For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days, which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing, or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? To you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God, and there is no other besides him. Out of the heavens he let you hear his voice to discipline you, and on earth he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words from the midst of the fire. Because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them. And he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is today. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. First Chronicles. You can look these up if you want, but I'm just going to move through them. First Chronicles 16, 10, and 11. We are to glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. Get to know him better than you do now. Psalm 34:10. Even though the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not be in want or need of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Therefore, cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. You have not because you ask not, perhaps. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all his wonders. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Are you happy? It's because you're not seeking the Lord if you're not. He says, those who seek the Lord are glad, happy. Seek his face continually. Isaiah 51, 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was but one, I called him. Then I blessed him and multiplied him, and will do so until he's like the dust of the earth and the sand on all the seashores of the earth. Hosea 10, one of my favorites, 12 to 13. Sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, grace. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. High time. Until he comes to rain righteousness on you. You've plowed wickedness. You've reaped injustice. You've eaten the fruit of lies because you've trusted in your way and in military might, your numerous warriors. In Amos 5:5, Beersheba for Gilgal will certainly go into captivity, and Bethel will come to trouble. That's the northern kingdom. Seek the Lord that you may live, or he will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph. That's us, Ephraim. And it will consume with none to quench it, for Bethel, they worship a false god. Zephaniah 2:3, seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. See, we do our part by seeking him, and he does the rest. He takes vengeance and gives victory and receives glory by grace from one who overcomes fear by faith, strengthened by the Spirit for the realization of righteousness. Those who wait, those who have the audacity to wait by faith. Those who stay the course, refuse to be intimidated. those who take God at his word. These words from the Lord as relevant to us and as pertinent, personal as they can be. See, nothing else you do will work, and no one else can help you. The same grace that redeemed you, rescues you, restrains you, and renews you. Grace is, in its basic definition, favor, but it's also power that provides everything you need and protects the objects of God's love for the sake of Christ, to the praise of his glory. He's in the saving business. He's mighty to save. Our natural tendency is to take matters in our own hands, but we must resist the temptation to do that. And the devil, who will always accuse, condemn, and assail the unprotected mind and attack us at the weakest point, that is the weakness of our resolve, and engage reaction and emotion. Because what that does is expends energy and ensures defeat, because you'll eventually surrender. Don't give in. Don't give up. Rather, give it to God. Leave it there. See, I'm assured that this will mean something to somebody and nudge them over the line to trust God for a change. That's a change that is long overdue for so many of us. I include myself. Change is good, but change comes hard. As good as it is resisted by most. You're stuck in a rut. The rut is wrong thinking, and who think that revenge is sweet, and who never back away from a fight. Do you know anybody like that? I do. Boy, do they like to get into the mix. They just love the challenge of a good fight. And we're to resist the devil, but we're not to fight with flesh and blood. So, they never back away from a fight, and as a result, they live out their lives beaten and bloody. That's what happens. Like the seven sons of Sceva. And end up weaker than ever, too weak, too weary, to wage war against an enemy that's too wily and willful to engage. Can't do it. Personally, you're too weak. So, we need to take heart by taking into our heart that which provides our protection. That garrisons all your possessions, guards your possessions, hides you and keeps you from harm in the evil day. That is by seeking the Lord, seeking his face, seeking his kingdom. And his righteousness first. That's what so many haven't done. That's what we missed. Isn't it? I think so. In our day-to-day, mundane, everyday lives as Americans. Oh, there's so many things that are so much more important. So many things that are far more urgent. Nothing's more important, nothing's more urgent than seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. That is, if you want to have everything fall into place, God will see to it. He promised to, and he never makes a promise he doesn't fulfill. See, I'm expecting disaster in this nation, and I'm expecting deliverance. And I'm not counting on peace and safety, even if they say it, because it's a lie. Oh, they say peace and safety, but there's neither peace nor safety apart from the peace of God that passes understanding, ruling in your hearts, and keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Peter tells us, as does Paul, to be dressed and ready. You know, Paul says, put on the full armor from God. Paul says, make sure you take off the rack and put on your soul the complete armor and armament from God. Vicki and I talked about this morning. She brought it up, and I said, that's in the message. And she brought something else up about the kingdom and his righteousness. I said, that's in the message. I said, you already got the message. At least you're primed for it. Which is so often the case with her. And I hope for everyone. Peter tells us, Paul tells us, Jesus tells us, we have Paulos, Petros, and Jesus. They all tell us the same thing. Peter tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. That means get dressed and ready. Get ready for action. Luke 12:35, Jesus says, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. The bridesmaids, you know. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action. Gird up the loins of your mind. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the same vein, the Holy Spirit tells us to make sure we assemble together for maximum edification in a time of approaching danger in order to be briefed and instructed by the Holy Spirit, not for any human purpose, but for divine purpose. In the case of the Hebrews, prior to 70 AD, those who did not hear and receive the warning messages from the pulpits in the Hebrew and in the Jew and Gentile assemblies were not prepared and did not flee and were swept away with the wicked when Titus of Rome came in 70 AD. So you can be like them or unlike them. You can survive whatever comes your way. Make sure the blood is on the doorpost and lintel of your soul house, and that you've eaten the lamb and you're dressed and ready for the journey. That's the lesson of the Passover for us today. Heed the instruction of Moses, Paulos, Petros, and Jesus. Get ready, stay ready. Be ready, for we know not what time the enemy will attack, and likewise we do not know in what hour the Lord will come. We want him to find us ready. But we do know that he will arrive in the nick of time to rescue the righteous from disaster. This we know, confidently rely on. And so is there any reason to worry? Not if you're seeking the kingdom first. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom and his righteousness first, and all these things will be added to you. Then he says, so don't worry about tomorrow. If you're seeking the kingdom first today, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Just deal with today. Seek the kingdom today. Well, if you're not seeking the kingdom, then worry you will. When you see these things are coming, are shaken. Zechariah chapter 1. I want to take you through a lot of different passages, prophetic scriptures, Old and New Testament, to show you the message of the Lord for today. It's all relevant for us today. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Declares the Lord of hosts, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Make sure you know who's speaking. Not man, God. Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of the armies, by the way. That's Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies, Jesus Christ. Return now from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they did not listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Business as usual. So what can you expect? Except heartbreak and heartache. And disasters of one kind or another, which intensify. 2 Chronicles 7:13. Brad came in this morning saying, blessed is the people whose God is the Lord. And how unblessed, if you say it that way, are those, is that nation whose God isn't the Lord. He says, if I shut up the heavens so that there's no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will answer them from heaven and turn, and I will heal their apostasy, their terrible swerve, as it were. And I lost my last page. So, guess what we'll do? We'll close. That's what we'll do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for the message of urgency and seeing what's truly important and what we as believers can do. That is to seek your face. Not to do anything, but to seek your face so that you might do for us what we've asked you to do. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door shall be opened. Father, may we seek your covering, your protection, and your blessing in this time, these critical times in our nation, so that perhaps, Lord, if it's at all possible, and it would take just every bit of our resolve and seeking your face and your great power and gracious disposition because of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for no other reason, to turn America into America the Beautiful once again, without the naivety that it once had, now with the sincerity of truth and absolute reality and what it takes for a nation to be blessed by the Lord. Father, I ask you to turn it around, turn it around, turn me around, turn them around, turn us around. Father, turn us around. Grant repentance. Grant us that we might repent so that you might relent. Father, I fear what you will do next. But don't fear personally, because you never destroy the righteous with the wicked. If we're trusting in you, if we're looking to you, if we're seeking your kingdom and your righteousness first, then the good things will remain. Nothing else can happen. And Father, even if you take us home, that's the most gracious thing you could do, to get us out of here before the evil comes, or to come for the church before the evil comes, which you will do, because we're not appointed to wrath but to salvation. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and his ransom. Father, we just thank you for your great faithfulness. We seek your face. And we seek reprieve, Father, in this time of judgment that's certainly coming upon this nation who has rejected you, and who have other gods beside you, and you're not their God. Even as in Israel, profile is painted so clearly for us that we might turn away from that which caused their great suffering in history, that we wouldn't follow in that same vein, but receive that deliverance that you so want us to have, and which will glorify your name and glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Vicki, if you would get ready, please, and if we could have the ushers, Father, bless the offering today and the events of today for each one. And Father, may we remember that the thing we can do, the one thing we can do, is to seek your face, and that you'll hear from heaven, turn and heal us, and bring that revival that we need so badly in this nation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.